Father, thank you for the morning. Thank you for your grace. You're faithful with us, more faithful than we ever are with you. Thank you for the study this morning and learn from. Thank you for your spirit, your impact, giving we need to hear, and the words that we need to say to each other as we felt, words that we are thinking here with us. We pray that you this morning, your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Chapter 2. Chapters 2 and 3 today. Many of you know my wife and I, when I went to high school and college together, weren't dating or anything. We were just friends through. We didn't start dating until after. So it kind of almost feels like a different life to me. And all of the time it happens where I'm home and I'll be reminiscing about high school and thing, and I'll forget that she was there. And I'll be thing, and she'll be like, yeah. I'll be like, seems like a completely friend, Morgan, from high school, a different person than my wife. It's trippy. Today is a little bit like that. It's recounting events they're aware of. You'd think we would know the stories. You'd think Israel would know the stories. Events that God, there's obvious evil practices that, and there's consequences their actions look like. Israel has disassociated themselves from and God is reminding them how they got here, seeing the painful reality. That. Now, a little background to the book of Jeremiah's sermons and prophecies, experiences, all kind of together. It's organized thematically, not chronologically, not telling a story. It's Jeremiah is written 40 years, Judah. Judah's the southern part of the nation of Israel, taken away into Babylonian exile. About. So the point is to call out Judah. That's coming from all them to repent. So these chapters, they don't read like a movie. They're not like bill points and a big reveal. There's not this. These chapters read stream of being deeper and deep of the main point. The point of the book is that all of God's people think, but they're actioned by wicked. And God is going to discipline them, continue to get worse and worse and worse and grow and spread. But he wants to offer them a path to repent long. The discipline's coming either way, but to offer them a path. So Jeremiah has to preach this very, very unpopular truth that everyone's going to reject. Israel, not like shame Israel. We need to look like at Israel as like a wickedness. Wickedness exists in our own hearts. That way we can be restored long before needs to discipline harshly, like in us, harsh Israel. Now, that's all the things that I just said, Jeremiah. And that point isn't going to change throughout. But as you can imagine, it takes a lot where we're being heard, where we're being the Lord. We're the Lord. We're not. So these chapters comb the topic over and over again, cutting deep into our hearts so that we can have an understanding with the Lord. It really should be quite beautiful for us to be renewed. By the way, I want to set that expectation. I just wanted to set that going through these chapters, combing through this topic and cutting deeper and deeper. So we'll start in verses in chapter 2, verses 1 through 19, that God has us, and we'll start in verses 1 through 3. Moreover, God came to me saying, go and cry in the hearing. Thus says your youth, the leads to the Lord, the increase, disaster upon by claiming that this is the word of the God commanded to be spoken from Jeremiah to the people, beginning with, thus says the claim of, if someone says, and then what they say next does not come true, to me says, they are not a prophet, in fact, they're deserving of death, according to the Lord. So in the New Testament era, we don't have this office of a prophet, Christianity claiming prophet. If you test, there will fail the test of a prophet. And we can prophet in 1 Corinthians, but we can't say Lord and 1 Corinthians, like scriptural revelation, like or like the apostles did in the New Testament, and we Hebrews 1 and Revelation uses this metaphor of Israel as his bride in the text many times throughout Scripture, most notably to me, Hosea, which Jeremiah pulls themes from there a lot. Israel of God reminds Israel saved them out of Egypt. When he saved them, if you know the story of God saving Israel out of Egypt, of problems and plenty of backsliding and plenty of trying to fight against the Lord, looks back on that fondly, and that begins to dynamic God's grace, that we can be following God, and that God is working. Look back on our relationship fondly in some ways if we are continuing. Now, God uses the metaphor of Israel being the first fruit of holy and set apart back to God. So he's saying, I've made you holy and I've made you a nation. This also implies that Israel is never meant to be the only fruit. They're the first fruit of the world, but God is the world. And God is to punish anyone who comes against Israel, the promise that God started making in Genesis 12 in context, because God is about to have a nation overtake. I promised to have against you be punished. Have bring you down is going to be punished eventually. I need to use that nation to this evil doesn't get any worse. Are an important preface. God's love to Israel before this love. Verse 4. Hear the word. What injustice? Thus says the Lord, far from me, have followed idols and have become. Neither did they say, where is the brought us up out of the land of Egypt, through a land of deserts and pits, through a land of drought, through a land that no one crossed, brought you into a bountain and its goodness, filled my land and its goodness. But when you entered, the priests did not say, where is the Lord? And those who handle the law did not know best to me. The prophets prophesied. Remember, Israel is named after Abraham, Jacob, changed Jacob's name to Israel in Genesis chapter 12. Tribes of Israel are named after the 12 sons. King Saul of Israel, which was a united tribe, split two parts, 10 kingdom of named Israel. Israel named Israel. Tribes were the southern kingdom named Judah. Now the north was overtaken by 50 years prior to the south, Judah. So when the Old Testament references Israel, sometimes it's referring to tribes, sometimes northern nation of Israel after the split. It's a synonym or the southern tribe of Judah because it's being part of the name of Israel. Understand the context to know what it's referring to. And then of Jacob, which means all of Israel, Judah. Israel, Judah, Jeremiah. And just know that we're mostly talking about the nation of Judah, because that, but really could apply as addressed to, but really referencing Israel or just the northern tribes. So I'll try. God challenges Israel to come up with anything that God has done wrong, especially to be grateful to God. God's the one who saved them. God's the one who gave them who's given them blessings and riches. But it's God for those things. Israel gave credit to all the other God when the rain God, and when it's the rain God, not the true God. That was their job. The people, the kings, initiated wickedness. They caused Israel to go down this path. Our false prophets in Israel, the idols for Baal. Remember last week we talked about major aspects of Israel's society, the kings and the priests and the prophets, all to take for granted us and attribute to our hard work or deserve what we feel like. Verse 9, therefore, charges against you, says the Lord, and against children I will bring. Pass on the coast of Cyprus, and consider diligently, and see if there has been such and changed its, which are not gods, but my people have changed their glory. Prophet, be astonished, O heavens, at this. Afraid, be desolate, says the Lord. Committed two evils. The fountain of living itself, cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. God is innocent. Israel righteous, and consequences for future. This judgment has consequences for future. In Jerusalem, they're going to grow up in captivity in Babylon. How is that do anything born yet? But that's all responsible for our future generations. That's why Adam and Eve choosing to cause consequences for the entire parents and grandparents, their faults have put consequences on our lives, have put children's lives, our children's lives. God didn't correct the future generations would get worse and worse. More and more, because he judges Israel now, he gives Israel future generation unity to come out of that and be righteous. Even the wicked pagan, they don't forget their gods. They might add God, and those gods are fake, and they still don't give. Yet they're fake. They save them, and here they are. Having identifies two evils that Israel forsake their God, themselves false gods. God uses an analogy to try to drink from a cup with a hole and falls through every time, rather than drinking from. Now, often, do you and I forsake ours in the pursuit of money or independence, where we pursue that before our kind of pleasure to our God, in the pursuit of power or status, that's more than our God? Is Israel a servant? Is he a slave? Why is he plundered? The young lions roared at him out. They made his cities are burned without tent. Also the people, Tapnes, have broken the, you not brought this on yourself, in that you have forsaken the Lord your God, when he led you in the way, the road to Egypt to drink the waters of Sodom, the road to Assyria to drink the waters of the river. Your own wickedness and your backs will rebuke you. Know therefore, see that it is an evil and bitter thing. The fear of me is not in you, said of hosts. God saved Israel from slavery out of Egypt. They chose slaves to false gods. For example, the nation of Israel, instead of God, they first turned to Assyria, and they paid the Assyrian king. And the Assyrian king took that money, and then they went to the other side. They went south in Egypt, you know the people that used to Egypt, to help them from the Assyrians. And so Assyria overtook, or the northern kingdom of Israel, and they became slaves to the Assyrians. The southern kingdom of Judah is making the northern kingdom Israel did. So they're going to experience the same cost faith, which is destructive. Self-medicating we on our jobs or people or ourselves above fail us when we need it most. One of my favorite food, pasta with Parmesan cheese, like a lot of cheese in my time. And if you take like a bag on cheese and you take that bag lasts for a long in the fridge, you leave it like in the hot. But if you take that bag and you put some other Parmesan, that bag like molds like instantly. Mold goes in that cheese. Like you can take out of it that bag without. Now, if the source of what we're doing in our life is the Lord, we're going to be. But if we add other things to our life that aren't for quickly mold, it'll quickly spoil everything that we're doing. And often we'll start to blame God. God, I've been trying to follow. He's saying you weren't following. You weren't doing things. And an a fun or helpful exercise. But you think of five good things in your life. My family. Think of my house, my church. Those are like five of your own five things as it come to mind. And I recognize right now that those five things they're not God of yourself, so you have your health. They're not because you busted some over, you know. You don't have that mag, you know. You're not that hip. Grace to receive those things. He controls the thing in it. He could have easily won to where you didn't get that spouse, or you didn't have your easily change it, that job and those things, so that you did get that house or whatever the case might be. The first five things that come to mind that you really, I want my son to come home from the hospital. I want to get rest on a consistent, fun on a consistent basis. I want to get my, that's five. Community, that's five. Let's ask ourselves, how five things that you thought of, five things that I thought of, how many of those things are motivated with God because of my these things versus those being relationship with God. Whether we had a relationship with God or not, we just want these five things. Not God helps me. Like if God's on my side, but if he's not, five things. Or abandon any of those. I need to abandon God wants something else for me. Am I able to say right here, am I able to say if one doesn't come home from time soon, am I okay with that? Can I handle that? If that's God's plan, is that within my to handle that? Exercises to remind us blessings that we have in our lives, then God will give us all that we need in the future. Danger in God's role in our lives. Being rogue. What we want to do, and then we try to add God along. Think of myself as a Christian, so I'm just going to do what I do. I'm a Christian, so be Holy Spirit dragging him along to whatever. That's what Judah was doing, whatever they wanted. They were adding God in and later. Everything that they coming out of their with God. We want everything that to be something that's coming out of our relationship with God. So that's remembering that God has, this is 20. We realize that 7, we from God is. Verse 20. For of old I have book and burst your book, said, I went on every high hill and under every green tree playing. Yet I have planted highest quality to degenerate of an alien vine. If would lie and use much soap, he is marked before me, says the Lord God. How can you say, I'm not gone after the Baals? See your way in the valley? Know that you have done, know what you have done, Tori, breaking loose of her ways. A wild donkey, you wilderness, them of mating, who turn her away, weary themselves in her mouth. They will find, hold your foot from being unshod and your throat dead. There is no hope. No, for I have loved and after them I will go. Oh God, when he saved them in the past, they committed to follow his direction. But they gave to be used by those idols like a harlot, the same way a harlot to give herself to. Now, this section uses overtly sexual imagery to discuss Israel's sexual, when it says that all, every high here, references worship, gods that would be placed. This worship includes sacrifice, includes immoral sexual acts, it includes and such. Now, godly, which is the healthiest way for us, is by the way God directs us. But could clean. What's crazy is that Judah didn't even with the everywhere, on all these hills, under all these trees, there's the idols are standing there, and they wouldn't admit to the altars of sacrifice how evil they have. Tell me that wickedness when you're sacrificing children. God compares Judah to female donkey in heat, letting let their lives fall. Judah was willing to a high. The thing we can't live without, feel like we can't. Verse 26, as a thief is ashamed when he is found, so is the house of Israel. Their kings and their princes and their priests, you are my father and to us to me. For they have turned their and not their face, but in time of their trouble they will save us. But where are your gods? For you have made yourselves. Let them arise if they can, according to the number of your. Why will you plead with you all have transgressed? In vain I have chastened your children. They receive no correction. Prophets like a destroying lion. All of Israel is caught, and so embarrassed, but not forceful. It's ridiculous how Israel is made in the image of God. Israel is God's, and yet they're worshiping just mere objects, just things. These trees that they're worshiping, these worshiping can't save to God. And God, well, where are your gods now? You're turning back to me. Why don't you trees to save you? How turn to the one true God with all of this time you spending worshiping these other fake gods? Warn them and discipline them over and over hundreds of years. We have city. Rely on the world. Rely on this to make us feel safe where God is when we need him. We have the adapt one way, and then when we need, give the other. Generation, see, have I been a wilderness to Israel or a land of darkness? Why do you people say, we are Lord? Virgin, forget her ornament, hide her attire without number. Why do you beautify love? Therefore you have also on your skirts is found the blood of the lives of the skirts, but plain that you say, because I am me. Behold, I will plead my case with you because you say, I have, so you shall be as Egypt. Also, you shall be, indeed you will go, indeed you will with your hands on your head, for the Lord has rejected your trust offer by them. God mourns so much for Israel, but the nation still turns away from him after all of that. Would feel if their wedding ring hid, took all their marriage and Facebook of their marriage, pretended like they weren't married. They're supposed to show other nations how to worship God. Instead, they're along with this idolatry, mentioned along with this idolatry, and in need, which is by God to Israel to need. Israel wants Israel to take care of the victim for this idolatry, for everything doing. That's obviously not that God's on their side. Israel wants to say that God's fine, but destruction is coming. It's fine now. Just like the northern Israel relying on Egypt and Assyria and how that failed them, it's going to fail Judah too. Judah's dependence on us has already hurt them. To Egypt, Israel did they Egypt for help. They rejected word for the world's protection. Our success, we're tempted to credit it to ourselves or what we've done, only to wonder why it fail us later on. Microwave broke. How much time at the family over help? Need to eat left to heat stuff up, and you can't do that without a microwave very well. So the upstairs microwave, I go get the upstairs, this microwave, the microwave that's been working immediately breaks. I'm like, there's something wrong with this house. And so I have to spend time, cooking on the stove. And it's so hard to heat things up without a microwave. Mom, what'd you do before the microwave? I don't remember. I just, the microwave. But we rely on our microwave. We're not dependent on it. We found other ways to heat up our food until we could have convenient options. But now this illustrates the fine line between something and making it an idol. If the microwave is able to eat, but we utilize it, but it's not. We're not. They couldn't farm without ability God. That's an idol. A sacrifice, just relying on farming for food, that's not an idol. Farming with the sacrifice is an idol. Judah needed nature life, but to statues to worship them makes that they need. necessarily a bad thing. But Judah is to another country isn't necessarily a bad thing. They can't set apart if they're reliant on them. So Judah made those other nations. Now for us, not every or beer or prescription drug or food entertainment is necessarily harmful. But if it becomes an addiction, it becomes called by God to have a job and to serve families. But if our identity is our life's purpose or our sole source of provision, like we think as we don't have this job, all job has become an idol. Now, goals in life, for us to put effort. But if we're trusting in our own ability, like I'm gonna make sure I get success, then we've an idol. Now, these are just advice to do that we want. A lot of things that we need on these things too much. They become like little God. We need the Lord plus this thing and that. Actually, lines that is like, wake up in the morning, funny, but dangerous. Like you've just subtly culture of your life up as a little God of the Lord. We become slow, and ultimately they fail us. They do our need just for a time. And then after that, they make us miserable. Slowly they make us miserable. Brings us to chapter 3 of God. God offered faith. Say, if a man divorces his wife from man's, her again, would not the land be polluted? But you have played the horse, yet return to me, says the Lord. The dust heights and sea where you have lain with men by the road, Libyan and the wilderness, polluted man with your hearts and your wickedness. Therefore the shadow, and there have been no latter rain, for you have his forehead. You refuse to be ashamed. Will you this time to me? My father, youth, will he remain angry forever? Keep it to an end? Behold, you have spoken and done evil as you were. So Deuteronomy chapter 24, a wife from divorcing her husband and then marrying, turning to her first husband. Wrongs don't make her right. If you commit divorce is adultery and you commit adultery, it would be also adultery again to your second. However, Judah expects to be able to do even God. They harlot themselves around. The evidence of their harlotry is literally all around them. There's idols built everywhere, done on the under the trees, fences that are made with. And the irony is that Israel's looking to these other vain, and the true God withholds the rain. He's giving them so many different chances to repent, to understand this. And Israel turns to God and says, well, aren't you going to help us, God? Where's the rain? Who faced manipulative status? They would live, look, and be like, God, saved by grace, faith. That faith, we're only living against the Lord. If we're only choosing against God, we can't live God's by grace because my faith isn't distributed to me in any way. Verse 6, the Lord said also, have you seen what backs? She has gone up on every high mountain. Green tree, and I said, return to me, but she did not return. And her treacherous sister saw that for which backsliding Israel had tree, I had put her away and not fear harlot also. So it came to pass through her casual harlotry that she defiled the land and committed adultery with stones. And this her treacherous sister Judah has not turned to me with her whole heart, but in pretense, says the Lord. Sliding Israel has shown herself treacherous Judah. Now, how could the kingdom of Judah see what's happening with Israel and their mistakes? Not learn from the same things Judah is doing now, Israel to repent, and then God Assyria overtake the kingdom of Israel. And Judah looks up. They look at that and say, oh, it's never going to happen to us. Judah even destroyed idols in the land. The people never let idols leave their heart. So Israel, therefore, we'll receive of God letting another nation come. But Judah is even worse because they've learned from, they haven't learned. Judah looks at Israel and thinks they're the sinful ones. They're the ones who sinned so much, destroyed them, right? Judah thinks of them. Judah's worse, it says. People of Israel and didn't die. We have in Judah and we have all of Scripture. So any of our idolatry in our lives, Israel and Judah were doing. Verse 12, and toward the north, turn backsliding Israel. I will not cause my anger to fall on you. Farciful, says the Lord, I forever. Only that you have scattered your charm, alien deities under every green tree, and you have not obeyed my voice, says the Lord. Return, O back. I will take one from a city and two from a family, and I will bring, and I will give you shepherds according to my heart who will feed you with knowledge. And it came to pass When you are multiplied in the Lord, they will say, in the covenant of the Lord, it shall not come to mind. They visit it, nor at that time called the throne of the Lord, and all the nations shall be gathered to it, to the name of the Lord. No more shall they fall evil hearts. In those days, the house of Judah will walk with the house of Israel, and they shall come together out of earth to the land that I have given as an inheritance. Now, as an example, now, Judah, God offers the northern kingdom of Israel him. Interestingly, about this divorce being final. The harlot married, will come back to me lawful. And here, he references the marriage, saying that if Israel acknowledges all them mercy, how is that? God prophesies when he gathers all the nations to worship God in Jerusalem. Tribe of or kingdom of Israel to one northern kingdom of Israel to one Israel again, and God will give them spiritual guide them in righteousness. And there will be no need for the covenant is where God's presence because God Himself will that folks. Jesus, as bad as our sin and our disobedience, God's grace offers us if we repent of Him. This giant case about Judah is wicked that there's naming them. He's going to bring judgment upon them. He says, but repent, turn to me, and I'll give you. Verse 19, how can I among the children of the host of nations? And I said, you shall call me my father and not turn away from me. Surely as a wife, treacherously with me, says the Lord. A voice was heard on the desolate heights, weeping and supplications of the children of Israel, for they have perverted, they have forgotten their God. Return, you backsliding children, and I will heal your backsliding. You are the Lord, for you are truly in vain is salvation from the hills and multitude of men. Truly our God is this, our God. For shame has devoured labor of our fathers from our youth. Our reproach covers us. For we have God, we and our fathers from our youth, even to this day, we have not obeyed the voice of the Lord. God wants to give all a born blessing that he promised the initial and the greatest inherit promised land. He wants to give them multiple them blessing. But Israel continues preferring the suffering for them to return to them so he can heal them. And then this is what you can sound like if you return to me, if you return and repent. So you can say, God, we come to you, our God. Idolatry.
And repentance. Now whichever group you fall into, when we close in prayer today, confess that sin to the Lord. Ask the Lord to reveal to you what you don't see. Pray about some tangible steps that you can take today, starting today after church, to begin turning back to the Lord. I think it's a good reminder, these chapters, of what God's done in our life. That has brought us to this point. Reminds us how miserable anything apart from the Lord is after some time. It reminds us to receive the grace of God through faith. That faith is living out repentance, living out that confession of sin to God. So let's confess together. Amen?
Yes.
Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for the reminders of what you've done for us and how a good life is with you and apart from you is miserable. Lord, we pray for your grace. Help us in our confession. If we keep our heads bowed and our eyes closed for a second, if you're here and you've never trusted Jesus for salvation, you've never experienced the complete forgiveness that we have as Christians, God's offering that forgiveness to you. All he is asking is that you lay down your life to him like he's done for you. You confess that you've rejected him and that you want to turn to him now. So if you've never trusted in Jesus and you'd like to confess yourself to him, confess your life to him, if you want to raise your hand, I'd love to pray with you. Those of you who raise your hands online, let me pray for you. Father, I pray for these who are choosing to trust in Jesus. I pray that they believe in the death and the resurrection that by trusting in Jesus, they can have forgiveness of their sins and eternal life. Keep our heads bowed and our eyes closed for a second longer this morning. I want to take this moment to confess the sins to the Lord. If you're in the first group that has egregious sin, now's the time to confess that to the Lord. If you're in the second group who has sin that's hidden, it's in your heart, but you haven't realized it, or you've been ignoring it, and the Lord has drawn that out and revealed that to you today, it's time to confess that. If you're in the third group and you're faithfully serving the Lord, you're turning to the Lord to be reminded not to stumble, and to be reminded to help your brothers and sisters turn to the Lord as well. I think that's an important confession this morning too. So, in your heart right now, I'm going to give you a few seconds of silence. In your heart right now, confess your sin to the Lord. If you confessed to the Lord this morning, if you raise your hand, I'd love to pray on your behalf. Amen. 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 Father, I thank you for those who have confessed sin to the Lord, something that we, it should be a regular practice for us. It shouldn't feel like a big monumentous thing, but a regular confession of what we lack to you so that you can heal us and make us whole. So there's no guilt or shame associated with that this morning. We're not less than because we confess to you or raise our hands about it, Lord. We're just accepting your grace. And in fact, not confessing would be the worst thing. That would be rejecting your grace, rejecting our faith. We confess to you, Lord. We trust in you to forgive us and heal us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.